Rucharan Shilam Upaiti Vanaran Tajati Rasena Sunir Vitendriyaha Vanchito Hangsa Kalam Samabishan Arochayan Shilam Upaiti Vanaran Tajaisana Tindir Vitendriyaha Parasparo Dvikshana Vismrita Davi Dairvanchito Hangsa Kulam Samabishan Arochayan Shilam Upaiti Vanaran Tajati Rasena Sunir Vitendriyaha Parasparo Dvikshana Vismritavadi. Ladies? Matajis? Daivanchito Hangsa Kalam Samabishan Rochitan Shilam Upaiti Vanaran Sunir Vitendriyaha Parasparo Dvikshana Vismritavadi Tayar Vanchito Hangsa Kalam Samabishan Arochayan Shilam Upaiti Vanaran Tajjat Sunir Vitendriya Parasparo Dvikshana Vismritavadhi Tai by them, the cheaters and pretenders, the so-called yogi swamis, incarnations and gurus, Vanchitaha, being cheated, Hamsa Kulam, the association of great Paramahansas, or devotees, Samavishan, contacting, Arochayan, not being satisfied with, Shilam, their behavior, Upaiti, approaches, Vanaran, the monkeys, which are all debauchees with no good character. Tat jati rasena, by sense gratification, in the association of such debauchees. Sunirvita indriya, being very satisfied with getting the opportunity of sense gratification. Paraspara, of one another. Udvikshana, by seeing the faces. Vismrita, who has forgotten. Avadihi, the end of life. Translation. By cheating them, the living entity in the forest of the material world tries to give up the association of these so-called yogis, swamis, and incarnations, and comes to the association of real devotees. But, due to misfortune, he cannot follow the instructions of the spiritual master or advanced devotees. Therefore, he gives up their company and again returns to the association of monkeys, who are simply interested in sense gratification and women. He derives satisfaction by associating with sense gratifiers and enjoying sex and intoxication. In this way, he spoils his life simply by indulging in sex and intoxication. Looking into the faces of other sense gratifiers, he becomes forgetful and thus approaches death. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes, a foolish person becomes disgusted with bad association and comes to the association of devotees and brahmanas and takes initiation from a spiritual master. As advised by the spiritual master, he tries to follow the regular principles, but due to misfortune, he cannot follow the instructions of the spiritual master. He therefore gives up the company of devotees and goes to associate with simian people. Simian, it means monkey-like or ape-like. Simian people. Huh? I looked it up in the dictionary too, and it's ape-like. You got a different dictionary. Ape-like. Because it's monkeys. It's referring to monkeys in the translation, in the words. He goes to associate with simian people who are simply interested in sex and intoxication. Those who are so-called spiritualists are compared to monkeys. Outwardly, monkeys sometimes resemble sadhus because they live naked in the forest and pick fruits. But their only desire is to keep many female monkeys and enjoy sex life. Sometimes so-called spiritualists seeking a spiritual life come to associate with Krishna-conscious devotees, but they cannot execute the regular principles or follow the path of spiritual life. Consequently, they leave the association of devotees and go to associate with sense gratifiers who are compared to monkeys. Again, they revive their sex and intoxication, and looking at one another's faces, they are satisfied. In this way, they pass their lives up to the point of death. The verse again. Tair vanchito lam upaiti vanaran. Vanara means monkeys. Vanaran. Taj jati rasena sunirvitendriya parasparo dvikshana vismritavadhi. So, tai, the first word in the verse, is referring to the previous verse. It's a pronoun or a possessive pronoun, by them. So, but them is the cranes, herons, and vultures. I can show you Prahlad's nice description, depiction of the cranes and the vultures and the herons, so-called spiritualists that cheat people. Tire, being cheated by them, the living entity in the forest of the material world tries to give up the association of these so-called yogi swamis and incarnations and comes to the association of real devotees. But due to misfortune, he cannot follow the instructions of the spiritual master or advanced devotees. Therefore, he gives up their company and again returns to the association of monkeys who are simply interested in sense gratification in women. He derives satisfaction by associating with sense gratifiers and enjoying sex and intoxication. In this way, he spoils his life simply by indulging in sex and intoxication. Looking into the faces of other sense gratifiers, he becomes forgetful and thus approaches death. So to discuss this verse, I'd like to refer to 2 points from the previous verse, because there's two points that are like summary messages. If you remember the Sanskrit phrase, the unknown source phrase, the Prabhupada often quoted, Harim Vina Mritim Na Taranti. One cannot cross over the obstacle of facing death successfully without the grace of Hari. Harim Vina Na. One cannot cross over this Mritim successfully without the grace of Hari. And with that, like, axiom, then there's the embellishment is the various distractions or false shelters that people take, that instead of shelter of Hari, they take shelter of. And thus, they're embarrassed. They face death helpless. And for the devotee, they face death, say, fearless, or welcoming the destination of attaining the association of the personality of Godhead eternally. And with death, there's pain, but the pain is a temporary pain, as it's a pain to be in the material world. It's a temporary pain, and one can transcend the temporary pain by a greater happiness. The transcendental happiness, beyond the happiness and distress or joy and pain of this world. So the other message is that there are two ways from the previous verse, there's a whole lot of them prior to that, but two ways in the previous verse that the living entity is cheated, and that is A and B. A, seeking the happiness, seeking happiness in male-female association, the creeper-like arms and the chirping sounds of the birds and the creepers, the sweet voices of male-female association, thinking, ah. But then as the roar of the lion, the death approaches, and so one may take shelter of false persons, the false shelters of teachers that don't have Hari to offer. So, in both ways they're cheated. Sense gratification, false shelter of pseudo-teachers and pseudo-teachings that are devoid of God consciousness in the bottom line, devoid of shelter of Hari. In both ways, they're cheated. So from that previous verse, then this line, tire, by them, one may be, the verse is saying, one may come to the point of saying, I don't like these false teachers and false teachings. I want something genuine. Seeing the desire of the living entity for wanting something genuine, then Krishna sends a devotee. And in the association of the devotee, the genuine devotee, one is then given the means of extrication from this embarrassing circumstance, this great misfortune. And pursuing the process given by the saintly person or the devotees, there may be misfortune along the way. And specifically, it's not the worldly misfortune, it's the misfortune that's described here as being unable to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. That's the translation, that the word in the verse is arochayan, the first word in the second line, arochayan. So do the first line. Tire, vanchito. Vanchito means being cheated by them. Tire vanchito. Hamsa kulam. One may get the association of paramahamsa, personality. Samavishan means contacting. So one may have that good fortune. And then in that association, becoming elevated. But, arochayan, in the translation, it's by misfortune. In the word for word, it's not being satisfied with. So we'll spend a little time talking about this. Arochayan. By misfortune, not being able to follow. Or not being satisfied with. So what's that? Say a few things. One is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's language. The essence of a relationship between a paramahamsa, in this case, the language is being used, or a qualified devotee and someone who's striving to become qualified, is the first element is submission, just like in Bhagavad Gita. Tad vidhi, what's the word? Pranipatena. Pranipat means submission. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes the essence of a relationship between a qualified person and one who wishes to become qualified. The first element is submission. And so we find, just as it's being described in the verse, in our ISKCON context, someone comes forward and they're materially exhausted. This is Bhagavatam language. Materially exhausted. Akinchana. I want something else. Materially exhausted. And then here's something genuine. So there's some submission. This is the critical factor. And then after some time, through that submission, taking the association of from qualified persons to become qualified, one becomes qualified through association. And then, as described in the verse, Bhaktisiddhanta similarly says, this marks the point of initiation, acceptance. Beware in the principle of slackening in submission, Bhaktisiddhanta teaches, because when one slackens in submission, that's this thing. Arochayan. One is not feeling satisfied. Because when there's connection through submission from the wanting to become qualified with the qualified, there's satisfaction. But when submission slackens, or we'll say it differently, complacency. You know what complacency means. I'm okay, you're okay. The force, the thrust, the submission sags, and one becomes complacent. And then when one becomes complacent, what happens? In comes the material energy. And alluring, as the material energy allured before submission, and now again when submission slackens, one becomes allured. And commonly, we find, I've observed, the thing that a devotee who slackens in submission and becomes allured to the very same set of things they left before they started submission. The very same thing that they said, you know, I don't like this. I don't want this anymore. And it may be the false, maybe either one of these two things from the previous verse. The allure for male-female association, or the allure of false teachers and teachings. So in this verse it says, such a person, in the same second line, arochayan shilam upaiti vanaran. Shila, not like Shalagram Shila, but Shila. Shila means behavior. Anushilana from our Brahma-samhita, Nectar of Devotion verse, Bhakti-rasamrita-sindhu verse. Anushilana, Anushilana, following the behavior of great souls, taking their association and following the behavior of great souls, not just the behavior, following them. Anushilana, cultivating. There's this submission again. And then following the submission, then inquiry, prashna. And following inquiry and prashna comes seva. We do as they instruct. We mold our life around the instructions of the qualified persons because we wish to become qualified following them. And if all of that slackens, then the previous stuff, the previous material contact, resumes. And vanaram, the one becomes like a monkey. And not to get too graphic about it, but monkeys may look like spiritual personalities in the sense that they live very simply. They live in the forest. They eat, they go around naked and they just eat fruits and berries. When I was reading this verse, I was thinking of the of Govardhan Parikrama. Maybe some of you have done Govardhan Parikrama. There's a certain stretch along Govardhan Parikrama. There's a whole bunch of sadhus who live along the Parikrama path. And one of their favorite things is ganja. Have you seen those who have done Govardhan Parikrama? You've seen. So, and they're there all the time. You know, they wave and smoke their ganja, the whole group of them. So, you know, the intoxication, and that's what they do during the daytime. And I'll leave it up to your imagination what they do in the nighttime. Intoxication, and it's exactly as it's said here, and sex indulgence, and they're sadhus. But that's what monkeys do. They have many female monkeys. We've seen a whole bunch of them, not just one, a whole bunch of them. And that's, you know, the sadhus have a similar program. Those so-called personalities, and we may look at them and they're dressed like a sadhu and, you know, etc. So that's like, you know, it's really in-your-face graphic. One of the things about India, it's like so stark. It's the examples given are very visible. And the Western version, it dresses it up differently, so it may be a little more difficult to discern. But the attraction that a practicing devotee has for worldly life. What is worldly life? What is worldly life? It's those things. So I thought to share a little bit on three references where devotees are advised strongly to avoid worldly association. So here's one of them. Maybe I could ask it as a question, but you probably know. So one of the places in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Lord Chaitanya is asked, what are the characteristics of a devotee? And one of the responses he gives is, asat sanga tyag a Vaishnav achar. Achar means behavior, just as in this verse. Achar means behavior. So, Vaishnava achar, the behavior of a devotee, is one who gives up the association of asat personalities. Asat sanga tyag. A Vaishnava achar. Now, if you're with Krishna, you're not with asat, you're with sat. It's an option. We can go to asat, we can go to sat. Why would I not want to go to asat? Well, if I want sat, I can't do both. So what goes on in the world of asat? Well, what goes on in the world of asat is being described for us by Judd Barrett. And then there's two other references I'd like to make. Those of you that are familiar with Nectar of Instruction. In Nectar of Instruction, there's six items that enhance bhakti and six items that destroy bhakti. Shadbir bhakti prasidyati, shadbir bhakti vinashati. And this item of association is found in both of them. What destroys bhakti is jana sangha, association with jana, worldly people. And that which enhances bhakti is association with devotees. But if one gives up the association of devotees, either physically or just kind of checks out even your physically in the association, where on the side, I'm really interested in worldly association with persons who are not within the realm of sat, then I'm attracted to those other activities, or at least think maybe they're having fun. Maybe. So here's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in this book, Bhakti Loka, he expands on the six in a very eloquent way. There's 16 pages for one of them and 10, 11 pages for the other one. He has a lot to say about this item because it's very important. And I'm just going to highlight a couple of things. In the Sangha Tyagat, Sangha Tyagat, renouncing Sangha. So he says, Sangha, the Sanskrit word, has two categories. And one is association, and another is attachment. And association has two categories, non-devotees, and the opposite sex. You know, the reference is women, but for a man, it's association with women, meaning in the enjoying mood, and for a woman, it's associating with men in an enjoying mood. Sangha tyagat, that's to be given up. That's the association type. And the attachment type is objects, like, you know, wealth. And then the other is, he says, prejudices. Prejudices, like a predisposition towards something of this world. I have a prejudice towards. You can say, like, a common use of it is racial prejudice. I like and I don't like white supremacy and black people. You know, that's one kind of racial prejudice. But it's other kinds of prejudices besides those kind. It's, you know, I like, I don't like in the material world. Hanging on to, attachment to worldly prejudices. That's a kind of sangha. And the advice is, give it up. Or, on the positive side, take the association of those that don't have those prejudices and that don't have attachment to objects and don't have attachment to male-female association and don't have attachment to non-devotees. All those four things. And again, 16 pages worth of elaborating on it. It's a wonderful discussion. And then that's Sangha Tyaga is in the category of those things that enhance bhakti. And then those that destroy bhakti is Janasangha. He quotes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, quotes Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami says the same thing. Of course, Nectar of Instruction is Rupa Goswami's book. But Rupa Goswami is just following Lord Chaitanya. He's our Rupanuga. We're Rupanugas, and he's the follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, giving his teachings on the science of bhakti. That was what Lord Chaitanya instructed him, empowered him, told him to write for us. So here's what he writes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Sangha Tyago Vidurena Bhagavad Vimukhair Janai. The translation. One who desires to attain devotion to Krishna should carefully give up the association of worldly people. Why? Because worldly people means Hari is absent, and to cross over the ocean of material existence, we need the shelter of Hari to cross over the moment of death and all the things prior to death. If we become entangled in the complexities of material existence, the lure is, it looks like enjoyment. I remember very clearly Prabhupada describing the lure of Maya when my mind is going to a hot summer day in New York. Prabhupada is visiting, seated on the Vyasasan, describing the lure of Maya. The lure of Maya is she beckons. Come on and enjoy me. Come on and enjoy me so I can kick you in the face. When he was describing that, my mind went to Homer's Iliad and Odyssey. I forget what her name is, but Cyrene or something like that, and she's beckoning. It's Maya. Come on and enjoy me. Come on and enjoy me. And Prabhupada was likening it to the ass who, after carrying his heavy load, at the end of the day, he goes to the female ass for enjoyment, and she kicks him in the face. Now, I haven't seen that, but apparently Prabhupada has seen that. You know, the hind leg kicking very hard, poo! And he continues to pursue for sex enjoyment, kicked in the face, kicked in the face. And that's the nature of the material world. However, whether it's described metaphorically or otherwise, that's the nature. Yehi sams parsha jabhoga dukha yonaya evate. There's Bhagavad Gita's way of describing. One's expectation is enjoyment. It looks like fun. And one gets misery. Dukha yonaya evate. And a donkey-like mentality is, well, maybe it is enjoyable after all. Like, maybe I'm missing out. One of the things that Prabhupada said about a sannyasi or a brahmachari. A sannyasi or a brahmachari may go door to door. That's, you know, the classic is the sannyasi doing his madhukari may go from door to door and receive alms from the householders. The purpose is not just his means of maintenance. The purpose is to speak message of transcendence to the householder, give their association, and give the householder some opportunity for rendering some service to the sadhu. But if the sadhu is going to the home thinking, wow, they have a nice setup here. Maybe I could be comfortable in this nice setup too. Maybe I'm missing out on something. Then this is not a sadhu. So how does one become sadhu? By association with sadhus. How does one become contented and having the sense of fulfillment? By association with sadhus. And now we're going back to this first word in the second line, which is arochayan, not being satisfied with. It's in the association of sadhus, it's where there is some appreciation, two things, appreciation of the quality of the sadhu, and on the other side, a clear recognition. This situation, without sadhu association, without sadhu sangha, this situation is not palatable. Although I thought it was going to be, it's not. So one can go vacillating back and forth between bhoga tyaga, bhoga tyaga, bhoga tyaga. That's the mind platform. Bhoga tyaga, accepting, rejecting. Sankalpa vikalpa, accepting, rejecting. And one should not practice Krishna consciousness on the platform of, with my mind I accept, now with my mind I reject, now with my mind I accept, now with my mind I reject. It's unstable. The mind is unstable. So one should not, submission is not just what the mind does. Now I'm feeling like this, oh, now I'm feeling like that. It's discouraging. It's never satisfying. Even the, accepting, it's not real satisfaction. The real satisfaction we know from Bhagavatam is when there's not a condition that creates the submission. There's not a condition that can check it. Ahoitukiya pratiyata yayatma supersedati. That's the position of satisfaction. And when there's the position of satisfaction, we're not going to find this monkey business. Going, coming, going, coming. Or at least, in the mind. So, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary, he refers to the sequence in chapter 2 Bhagavad Gita where association begins by contemplation. There's the sense object, contemplating the sense object. In the mood of, maybe that's enjoyable. Ooh. The dominoes start to fall real fast. And I'm going to be a little bit explicit here about, because it just came to my attention in a little email message from somewhere on the planet where a man is enjoying viewing things on the internet. I'm sure nobody here ever thought of something like that or does something like that. But those who may do something like that, they get caught in a trap. It looks like, and so they contemplate. And it's spoiling that person's relationships with his friends, with his wife, with, and just exactly as Krishna says in those verses in chapter 2, by contemplating the objects of the senses, and the sequence, and one falls. And then another series of verses, by contact with the mode of passion, one develops lust. And in the frustration of lust, one becomes angry. So in their relationships, their explosive anger is coming out. It's destroying their relationships. Their happiness looked like happiness, but it ended up in misery. It's destroying their happiness and destroying their relationships. It's destroying their Krishna consciousness. It's very debilitating. Another message yesterday, a devotee lost their job because they spend time at the job on the internet. And I don't know if there's like, you know, the gross kinds of viewing things on the internet, but just like dilly-dallying and time-wasting on the internet. And their boss, you know, knows it, and the devotee knows it, and he can't control it. Because, you know, once you're, it's like a tar baby. Once you're evolved in those things, the sense of attachment to those things becomes indescribably strong. One may think, oh, I can just walk away. But it doesn't work like that. It just becomes like a sense addiction. You know, it starts off innocent, and it doesn't end up innocent. It ends up very painful, and is disruptive to their life, and, you know, etc. Their relationships, their sense of self-worth, and all the things that are important, they're being destroyed by the little innocent contemplation of the objects. Time-wasting things, it's not so innocent. Attraction for, maybe on the other side of the fence, the grass is greener. Those kinds of things. Maybe if I, some adjustment and something, and then I'll find happiness over there, more happiness over there. The dissatisfaction, back again to this very important word, arochayan, which Prabhupada is saying is due to misfortune or not being satisfied. That sense of not being satisfied has nothing to do with the process of devotional service or the association of devotees. It has to do with these other two things. The contemplation, this anticipation of enjoyment from something other of the temporary dual world of illusion, and slackening of submission to the good association. Beware of both. Exactly as the previous verse is saying. Beware of both. So how do we... I'm anticipating the question, so I'm saying it now. How do we maintain our submission if it's like so dangerous if we slack it in it? Do a little reality check periodically. Like, am I independent? Or am I the recipient? The real happiness that I'm experiencing is due to some mercy that I'm receiving, not, you know, so I don't become complacent. I stay in the arena of gratitude. And with gratitude, it moves my heart. And because it moves my heart, I continue in that. I wish to do something in reciprocation. I wish to receive further, both. The service mood and the ongoing, I wish to receive further. The fullness of, like in Gopal Kumar description in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he felt that how could I not? It would be disrespectful that if I don't receive the fullness of what my spiritual master wished for me to receive through the mantra that he gave me. I don't want to be in that position of being disrespectful. And you know, the other side is miss out on the fullness. And then that's impetus for continuing submission, eagerness to go further, and the sense of gratitude for having lifted one out of the darkness of ignorance. And therefore there's these sections of, here's the anatomy of the darkness of ignorance, in case you forgot. Because now you're situated in a little bit better position as a devotee, in case you forgot. Or with Maharaj Rahugana, because he was steeped in bodily conception. I'm the king. You better parry the palanquin properly. you're in big trouble because I'm the king. I'm going to let you have it. Foolishness due to bodily conception and attachments that go along with that. We're protected by proper hearing, and with that proper hearing, submission, so that we can receive it properly. Now, one more step and we're done. One more step is this phrase in the third line, taj jati rasena, taj tat jati rasena. And the last line, prasparo dvikshana. By seeing the face of sense gratifiers, or being in the association of sense gratifiers, vismrita, one forgets everything. So, you know, you've heard the phrase, I don't want to see your face, or when Ramchandra Puri came and spoke to Madhavendra Puri, why are you carrying on like this? Why are you're crying, and why aren't you studying Vedanta Sutra? You're a sannyasi. You're speaking all these things. Madhavendra Puri said, get out of here. If I die seeing your face, I'll surely go to hell. So do whatever you want. Go somewhere else. I just don't want to see your face. So in the course of our dealings, whether one is a householder going into the workplace, or we're devotees, brahmacharis going on sankirtan and seeing people's faces, we're seeing their faces. And for there's protection, because we're not like supposed to go around blindfolded. There's protection for the brahmachari in the mood of carrying out the mission of Lord Chaitanya. We're protected. Step outside of being in that mood of carrying out the mission of Lord Chaitanya, and we'll see things and faces that may look like, wow, something. Looks like fun, or whatever it is, you know, attraction, repulsion. Instead of compassion, we're on a mission on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we're protected. The attraction, repulsion situation is taken away. We may see things for what they are, but we're protected by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And the householder, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, writes in his writings often, and in this section, the Janasangha section, he speaks specifically about householders. There's no fault, there's no contamination taken by the householder who in the workplace sees the faces of the co-workers and has polite and friendly conversation with them. That's not what it's speaking about. It's speaking about his intimate discussions with them about values of life and so forth. Inquiring submissively from a person in the office, workplace. That kind of dialogue, that kind of intimate association is in the association of devotees. And the worldly people, one is respectful and exhibiting the qualities of a devotee. That's what a householder must do in the workplace. Teach by example how to be a qualified Vaishnav in the workplace. You're being protected by the mission of, in the workplace, you're showing this is the example of a Vaishnava Grahastha. And so you conduct yourself accordingly, respecting social norms and so forth, as a service to Krishna. So remaining in the service to Krishna mood, we're protected. And if we lose that service mood, we're subject to illusion, vismrita, forgetting. Forgetting who we are, forgetting our real identity, forgetting life's mission, forgetting Krishna, and so forth. It's a very practical instruction. See if there's any comments or questions. Yes.
You told that when you go to Sankirtan, you are protected when you are in the mood of carrying out the mission and showing the feeling of compassion in your inner senses. Now, it seems to be safe at one point, but let's say we are at Sankirtan for 15 days. We try to cultivate this consciousness while going on the... But the association of devotees, devotee association is not there at all. So we might feel slack at that point. So what could be the remedy for this?
Beware. Whether it's A or B, you're with the devotee, or C, you're with the devotees association, you're going solo on Sankirtan, you're without devotees association, or C, you just stay in the temple. There's risk. Commonly, it's advised go on Sankirtan in association. Go out for preaching in association. It's advised. There may be circumstances that don't permit it, but it's advised. So when it's absent, recognize this is an extra risk situation. So I should be prepared. Supposing, for example, there's one of those situations where there's a weather change, and commonly people get colds when there's a weather change, like it's that season. It's been really hot, and now it's getting cool or cooler, not as hot. When there's that significant weather change, it's a time that people often get cold. So you take precaution. Yes. And if you don't take precaution, maybe you will, maybe you won't catch a cold. But you don't want to catch a cold, take precaution. Dress warmly and, do the things that... Similarly, take precaution. If, as you're using the scenario, for 15 days I'm alone, going on Sankirtan, I don't have somebody in invisible proximity of me, take precaution. Do something extra, you want to say something more? Go right ahead.
Even if you have association of devotees, but we miss the deities and tulsi and all the things in the temple, how to compensate that loss?
How to do what?
We miss the deities.
I heard the first part, but how to do what?
How do we match up the situation?
Match up the situation?
We don't have deities, we don't have tulsi, anything.
Compensate. Hearing. Here's what Prabhupada said. Take the microphone down. Thank you. Take the microphone away from him. the devotees that traveled in vans said, Prabhupada, we're traveling in vans and we don't have deities in Tulsi, and should we get deities for our van? Prabhupada's reply, this at least once, was, the books are your deities. Treat the books as your deities. It's another form of Krishna. That's the brahmachari book distributor. That's their happiness, and their one of their principal associations with Krishna is through his transcendental literature, through scripture. So see the books as your deity, was Prabhupada's. I don't have deities. And I'm sometimes in temples, sometimes not in temples. But the essence is the association of Krishna in another form. sound vibration form. That gives spiritual strength and protection to a preacher. And then we carry the message on behalf of Krishna. That's what we do. Someone else? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
On the topic of associating with devotees,
yes,
we hear many examples of persons who had very elevated association, but still they were unable to.
That's what we're hearing. Yeah.
Take advantage. So, how can we ensure that we do not make this mistake?
Well, that's the same question as how can we maintain ourselves in the position of submission? I anticipated the question. I already gave the answer. and connecting, in addition to what I said, coming back to this other question, recognize part of the position of a devotee that stays fixed is a devotee that doesn't be... They are wary of the power of Maya, and so they don't become complacent. They never put their guard down. But the opposite, they are turning to Krishna, seeking always protection. It's one of the limbs of surrender. So staying in that, recognizing, I'm in this danger zone called the material world. And even I'm living in the temple or whatever it is, my situation is set up in such a way it's favorable for Krishna consciousness. Nonetheless, I'm in the material world and my mind has this conditioned stuff for who knows how many lifetimes and a gross body that has urges. And this is an at-risk situation. So being aware of that danger as it's being described here. It's a hostile environment. And in addition, I've declared war on Maya. And Maya doesn't like that. Maya will try to take me somewhere besides away from her grip. So it's not like, you know, I'm panic-stricken, but I'm cautious. So, like it's the same, you take precaution because we're in a. Prabhupada's example is a physician before going into a disease-infested place or epidemic place, he takes some inoculation so he won't contract the disease. He takes precaution. Like that, we take precaution. And then the positive things that I said about ensuring submission, like. Stay connected to the feelings of gratitude. By transcendental knowledge, be aware of what this other alternative really is. What's the anatomy of sense gratification? What is the lure of Maya? So, teachers make it abundantly clear what the lure of Maya is. But if I got beans in my ears, I don't hear what the lure of Maya is. I'm thinking, well, maybe it's nice. Doesn't look so bad. I mean, kind of looks like they're having fun. Maybe I'm missing out on some fun. So that's where the submission slackens and, you know, the contemplation stage begins. And it, again, to repeat, it starts innocently. Looks like innocently. But even the contemplation is there because of the slackening of submission, the sense of gratitude, and what can I, etc. Maya is very strong. Yes, Dr. Richard in front of you.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Just one more second while I'm formulating the question. It has to do with the other day we were speaking about Bhagavatam says we have a load that we're carrying, shoulder to the head, to the hip. Remember when we were discussing this?
Some other person was giving class, not me.
Oh.
But go ahead.
You're familiar
I'm familiar with the analogy, yeah.
It's one of my particular favorites, but I don't have a lot of realization on it. My question is, how does that work? Because the essence that I understand is that there's a certain amount of allotted happiness and
certain amount of what happening?
Allotted happiness and allotted distress.
That's on the material side, okay. But, you know, take shelter of Krishna and that whole formula is no longer applicable.
So then it's maybe not a relevant question.
Huh?
I don't think it's such a relevant question then. So that verse really becomes...
Yes, relevant,
obsolete.
Irrelevant.
Okay.
The person who is... I mean, I didn't do... I was very dissatisfied with the presentation that I made yesterday. Maybe I'll do a better job of it today at the college. About the load, the sense of responsibility. A good person wishes to be responsible, to live responsibly. And what one is responsible to do largely is determined by others. The expectations of others say, this is your responsibility. And I wish to be responsible, and so I carry the load. But it's not necessarily, you know, the soul's real responsibility. In fact, the soul's real responsibility is to take full shelter of Krishna. And I may be so busy doing other responsibilities, I have no time to take shelter of Krishna. And or they don't lead to taking shelter of Krishna. I may not see them in terms of service to Krishna, just like being responsible, being a good citizen, being a good person, a good friend, a good son or daughter, and a good, you know, good, being good, virtue, be responsible, carry out my duties, be responsible, without the real need of the soul. So the burden is those things, and that's one of those things. So what if one becomes a devotee? It's not like, oh, I don't care about anybody anymore. It's just, everything is redefined in terms of the connection with Krishna. And then it's not a burden. It's devotional service. Something else. Anyone? Over here.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hi, Krishna.
My question is somewhat related to the verse, but not also related to the verse. It connects to this word arochayan.
Okay.
It's dissatisfaction.
Okay.
And I have heard a lot about emotions.
Emotions. You've heard a lot about them, huh?
In spiritual life.
Okay.
But I still cannot understand how emotions are connected to spiritual life. And
are we speaking about transcendental or the other kind? Transcendental emotion or the other kind? Worldly.
I'm talking about like personal emotions.
Well, personal can be worldly or transcendental. You know, the mood of Radha, there's emotion toward Krishna. The mood of Lord Chaitanya toward Krishna, that's transcendental emotion. And then there's everybody else. So which are we speaking about?
Everybody else.
Everybody else, okay.
Myself.
Okay.
Like that.
Okay.
So I want to know, what is the role of emotions in spiritual life?
We want to spiritualize them. We want to, as with everything, connect them to Krishna. So if, for example, if there's an emotion that takes me toward Krishna, I accept that and act upon it. And another one, I may recognize it, but not invest energy and attention in that one. I may recognize it, it's not going to take me to Krishna. It's in relation to, you know, material contact, stuff back there. The anticipation of happiness in the material world, and then there's some emotion like happiness, and then dissatisfaction because it didn't work out that way. And, you know, or someone else spoke to me or did something, and then there's an emotion connected to that. Maybe, oh, they spoke very nicely, or they spoke very harshly, cruelly. Then there's an emotion connected to that. Or whatever the emotion might be. It's, we don't invest so much value in those things as a devotee. Rather, we connect our tendency for emotion, because it's of the soul, in relation to Krishna, there's emotion toward Krishna. So I tolerate the other ones. I may, you know, recognize where it comes from and, you know, spend a little time over there. But I don't spend my time over there. It's not like my main project. I may want to find a place for those emotions, but, you know, it's direct my attention toward Krishna. And same, when, you know, when you're, because one of the services that you have is helping others in their Krishna conscious life. They come to you because they like you and you're very kind to them, and so they share with you their emotions. And then similarly, you want to help. Whatever it is that you do, the end result is come closer to Krishna. Guide the soul to come closer to Krishna. So help them resolve their emotions in some way, but ultimately, they may not be able to hear it, but ultimately, it's illusory. It has nothing to do with the real self. But you still may address the situation that's causing some emotion, whatever it might be. Commonly, it's distress of some kind, emotion. So to help work out the situation that's causing distress with some support, but while doing that, either indirectly or directly, explicitly, the real solution is a spiritual one. The real solution is being connected to transcendence, being connected to Krishna. And that's the darkness over here will be dissipated by the light of transcendence. So be sure to include that in the support that you extend to others, or however you might address your own emotions. This material world is filled with duality and shortcomings. It's never dushparena, analena, like fire, burns like fire, never satisfies. It burns like fire. That's the nature of the place. So try to make it a place that's not what it is. You got a long task. It'll never happen. So don't make that your project, but you know, you address, put some water on the fire, and then get busy with directing the senses and the mind and intelligence to Krishna's service. And that extinguishes the darkness, because it's illumination instead. It's happiness instead of just, it's real, the real happiness of the soul instead of the struggle of duality, happiness, distress, and the feelings connected to duality, emotions. Okay, we'll end there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.